Good morning, everyone, for WRCO News. I'm Todd Coppernall. 68 degrees under cloudy skies with a little fog still hanging around in Richland Center. High today will be 86, warm and humid. In the news this morning, the legal proceedings in the case of State of Wisconsin versus Makoto Kuroda have brought to light a disturbing incident of workplace retaliation involving the use of hazardous chemicals at the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Influenza Research Institute. The defendant faces serious criminal charges, including second-degree recklessly endangering safety and tampering with household products, both felonies. These charges stem from an investigation that began in April after an employee at the research facility discovered that his drinking water and laboratory shoes had been contaminated with toxic substances. The incident first came to the attention of UW-Madison police April 6th when a researcher identified as TM reported a strange odor emanating from his water bottle. According to the criminal complaint, TM had consumed a portion of the water 2 days prior and immediately noticed a foul taste, which he fortunately spat out. The situation escalated when TM later discovered the same pungent chemical smell on his lab shoes. Forensic analysis conducted by the Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene confirmed a high concentration of chloroform in the water bottle, a finding that indicated a significant and dangerous initial exposure level for any individual who might have consumed the liquid. As the investigation progressed, the focus shifted toward the defendant following a dramatic admission of guilt. Kuroda reportedly confessed to TM and his supervisors, stating plainly, "I did it." He further solidified this admission through an email sent to a professor at the institute expressing regret for his actions. During subsequent interviews with law enforcement, Kuroda detailed a history of professional friction and perceived disrespect from TM, citing issues ranging from lab safety protocols to interpersonal grievances. He admitted to using a syringe to inject a mixture of paraformaldehyde and triazole, chemicals he frequently handled for bacterial culture experiments, into TM's water bottle and shoes. Kuroda even revealed that he had used artificial intelligence to research the specific dosages of these chemicals that would cause physical illness without being lethal, intending for his colleague to feel bad rather than die. Currently, the legal case against Kuroda is actively moving through the Dane County Circuit Court system, following his initial appearance where a $5,000 cash bond was set. A Kenosha woman is facing legal proceedings after being charged with a felony in a recent vehicle-related incident. Emily Fair, 36, has been officially charged with taking and driving a Pleasant Prairie ambulance while she was completely naked, a Class H felony under Wisconsin statutes. The case, which was initiated through electronic filing August 4th, stems from an incident that led to her initial court appearances earlier this week. During the initial proceedings, before Court Commissioner Daniel E. Kellum, a cash bond was set at $200. As part of the conditions for her release, Fair has been ordered to have no contact with the Pleasant Prairie Fire Department unless emergency services are required. The court also emphasized that proper attire is mandatory for all future appearances, specifically prohibiting shorts or tank tops within the courtroom. Defense attorney Daniel Slapsinski was appointed to represent Fair through the Public Defender's Office. During the early stages of the case, the defense raised concerns regarding the defendant's competency to stand trial. In response, the court has ordered a formal competency examination, and the necessary documentation has been forwarded to the Department of Health Services for review. In a significant escalation of congressional oversight regarding the federal response to the COVID-19 pandemic, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, chairman of the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, officially voted to hold Dr. Anthony Fauci in contempt of Congress. The move occurred during a business meeting of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee and was prompted by what Senator Johnson characterized as a refusal to comply with committee investigations and a notable silence from Dr. Fauci during recent testimony. During his remarks, Senator Johnson strongly rejected criticisms from Democratic colleagues who suggested the investigation was rushed or one-sided. He argued that the quest for accountability has been ongoing since 2020, citing a longstanding lack of cooperation from health officials. The senator pointed to past hearings involving alternative treatments and vaccine safety, alleging that previous attempts to bring forward diverse medical perspectives were systematically denigrated or ignored by the committee's ranking members. A central point of Johnson's argument involved revelations from Dr. Fauci's personal diaries, which the senator claims show a stark contradiction between Fauci's private thoughts and his public directives. Johnson highlighted an early entry suggesting the pandemic might be comparable to a severe flu season, questioning whether such a prognosis justified the widespread economic and social disruptions that followed. He emphasized that after 6 years, the American people still lack a full reckoning of the pandemic's origin and management. The senator concluded by asserting that Dr. Fauci's behavior during his most recent appearance displayed a fundamental contempt for the legislative branch and its constitutional role in conducting oversight. While Dr. Fauci has publicly stated he has nothing to hide, Johnson countered that his actions suggest otherwise. Looking ahead, the senator announced that his investigation is only beginning, with plans for transcribed interviews and further deep dives into the record to ensure comprehensive accountability for the decisions made during the COVID-19 era. The Friends of the Lower Wisconsin Riverway invite you to the 2026 Flow Potluck Brunch and Annual Meeting, which will take place Saturday, August 22nd at the Wintergreen Preserve in Spring Green. The day begins at 11 a.m. with a community potluck and the annual meeting, where they will celebrate the year's achievements and discuss future initiatives. As they will not have access to a kitchen facility, they ask that all attendees bring their food in coolers ready to eat, along with their own beverages, plates, and utensils. Following the gathering at Wintergreen, the festivities will continue with a group paddle departing from the Highway 14 launch shortly after 1 p.m. For convenience, participants have the option to set a shuttle at the Wisconsin Riverside Resort, which also provides boat rentals and upstream shuttle services for those who do not have their own equipment. If you prefer to stay on dry land, they would still love your participation. Volunteers are encouraged to help with shuttling fellow paddlers or to capture photos and videos of the group from the bridge. The American Red Cross urges donors to give blood or platelets now to help hospitals and transfusion centers stay prepared to help all patients. An area blood drive will be held today from 11:30 to 5:30 at Christ Lutheran Church in Spring Green. Appointments may be made by calling 800-RED-CROSS, visiting redcrossblood.org, or by using the Red Cross the Blood Donor app. Walk-ins are always welcome. The Boscobel Municipal Airport is preparing for an exciting morning of aviation and community fellowship as it hosts its annual fly-in and drive-in breakfast, Sunday, August 23rd. This long-standing tradition invites local residents and visiting pilots alike to gather at the airport for a day of festivities and scenic views. The event is located just 1 mile east of Boscobel on State Highway 133 with access via James Drive. The Boscobel Cross Country team will be handling the breakfast service, offering a full morning meal from 8 a.m. until 12 noon. Attendees can count on a hearty start to their day, regardless of the weather, as the cross country team plans to serve breakfast rain or shine. In addition to the meal, the Airport Commission has arranged for plane rides to be available for $40, providing a unique opportunity for guests to experience the area from the skies. Everyone is encouraged to come out and support the local cross-country program while enjoying the unique atmosphere of the municipal airport. For more information regarding the event, the city of Boscobel can be reached at 608-375-5001. Whether arriving by plane or by car, the community looks forward to a successful turnout for this local summer highlight.